My computer likes spam and cookies and peanut butter and duct tape and high-grade plastics and those cute little banana peppers that look like peanuts.
I'm looking for the Donald. Where is the Donald?
No, I think this has something to do with getting a tax refund, right?
Yeah.
You know what happened to the Donald?
I'm such a big apprentice fan.
I looked over at the Donald, square in the eyes, and said, "You're fired."
Is that what you did?
No. I'd be afraid of that.
You're listening to the Computer Corner on News Radio 620 KTAR. It's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney. We're here trying to work our way through as many problems, questions, and we've had zero in the way of tax questions, so I'm assuming everybody's out there pretty well taken care of, or the resources that we've provided is good enough, and they're good to go.
I think that the listeners just don't pay taxes.
Oh, they're all conscientious objectors.
Huh? Yeah.
All right.
Which I'm sure you can get away with no problem these days.
Especially if you email the government saying,
I'm just not doing it.
I'm letting you know.
By the way, for the record, my name is blah, my address, here's my social.
Here's my
I'm not doing it. I don't even have a social security card. Screw you guys.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah.
Nice language.
Exactly.
How about Brand?
Brand, where would I find next? Brand? There Brand, he is.
Brand, you got an e-machine, you can't get Adobe to do something?
I can't view PDF files in my browser anymore.
Oh.
Most people like that. I hate when I open up a PDF file that I've clicked on through a web page and it opens up in the browser. I much prefer it to open up my Acrobat program, which you can actually tell it which way to go. And that's one of the first things I always do as soon as I install the Acrobat Reader. But you're not able to open files at all, or they just don't open in your browser and that's where
I
you want them to open?
I can't open them in my browser, and I do a lot of service work and all of my manuals are PDF online, and I click on it and I just get a blank page that says done.
Oh, okay. So the association, the setting in the browser itself that allows that there's a little, I'm trying not to get technical. There's a place in the browser where the browser knows what it's supposed to do. Generally, the two options are to use the browser plugin to display the PDF.
Correct.
Or actually use the Adobe Acrobat Reader program and actually launch it and open it up.
Okay.
There's also a possibility that you have security software in there that's not going to allow either thing to happen.
That could be a possibility, too. I am running Norton Internet Security.
That's our absolute favorite program ever.
Not.
I know.
Well, I mean, you can try disabling it, and if things magically start working, then you know where to start.
And, and then you'll know why it's our absolute favorite software ever.
Yeah. You can also try, what version of Acrobat Reader do you have,
I have, on my system, there's 5.0 and 7.0.
You know what I would try doing?
Whoa, hold on.
He's got both.
Okay.
Which is
I actually had more, and I deleted most of them, and I think that's when the problem
is. Yes. This was going to be my suggestion, is uninstall all versions of Acrobat Reader that you have.
Okay.
And then go download the latest version and install it.
Okay.
Only, but make sure you uninstall all of them first.
Gotcha.
If it's an association problem, it's going to fix that problem without any kind of technical step-by-step how-to 1, 2, 3, 4. If it's the other problem where it's something security-wise, then you're going to have to start disabling security things until it starts working, and then you'll know that's the bad one and then decide, do I need it or do I not?
Or you can figure out the specific thing in the security program, and usually you can give it an exception. Say, allow this to work. But okay. Yeah, the non-technical way to try to repair it is exactly as my friend Mr. Disney is recommending.
Fantastic. I'll give that a shot.
And it's something you could do fairly quickly, right?
I believe so.
And then get back to a beautiful Saturday.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Is your name actually Brand, or is that just short for something?
No, it's actually Brad. But
oh, Brad. Well, we're going to call you Brand because
I knew who you were talking to.
It's the first half of my name, which is cool. So.
Brand. Well, it could have been Bran without the D.
Yeah, but, you know.
All right, Brad.
I won't go there.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. You know, we were talking about Norton and all that other stuff. How about Mike with Norton? Is it we have time?
Where's Mike at?
Right there.
There's two mics.
Yeah, five.
Which mic? Five. I can press five. Here we go. This is professional radio, by the way, in case somebody didn't notice.
It has never been, never will be, and it doesn't matter. Mike!
Yeah?
Since we just talked about Norton and you have Norton, we figured we'd try to connect the dots.
Thanks. Here's my problem. I just renewed my subscription to Norton, which I wish I hadn't of now, but I'm not supposed to say that. But anyway,
Wait! No, absolutely. You know what? One of the biggest reasons people listen to this show
is because guys like Mike call up and say, "I wish I wouldn't have," and then that's the other people listen and go, "Huh, I don't have to disbelieve Ken and Brandon because other people say it too."
Well, now, and the next time they're faced with that exact situation, they're going to go, "That guy on that computer show said, okay, this is where I should stop." So your pain is appreciated.
So why do you wish you shouldn't have?
Well, my wife plays these games on AOL, and it's Pogo.com. It's a site that has multiple games, right?
Yep.
And she loves to get on there. That's her relief when she gets home from a stressful day. Well, the deal is since I reloaded Norton, it won't allow her to come on. When she goes, she can get to the website, but when she goes to a particular game, it starts downloading and waiting and waiting and waiting. And a message will appear that the Java download is not working or Java is not working and that we need to reload it. However, if I turn Norton off, it works fine.
Well, did you get Norton Internet Security or is it Norton Antivirus?
Norton Internet Security.
Well, now we're two for two. Now, why is it that we keep telling people we don't like this program, Brandon?
Right.
Huh. Wait, no, I said it's our favorite program ever.
Yeah, because it tastes like chicken?
Mmm, tasty chicken.
I mean, how many times, you see, that? What you have to understand, Mike, is, you know, we have, 50, 60 stores now all over the country. We hear this constantly. So when we see a product, you know, a lot of people get really upset because we say, "Well, I'm not having any problems. This Norton's fine. It's the greatest thing ever made." And it's right. Like, okay, great. I'm glad it's working for you. And certainly Norton does not put out a product that works poorly for everyone. But when a large number of people have a lot of problems that other people are not having, that's enough to get us to say,
Right. And, you know, the sad thing is when you try to get some support from them, of course, I'm just an average guy, and they send so much verbiage and complicated screens to read and try to work through that you just get lost in the mess, you know.
Well, so, actually, there's a technical term for that. It's called baffle the user with BS.
Yes, exactly.
and so at this point, because you have all of those, well, first of all, you can disable certain parts of Norton Internet Security.
Right.
And probably be just fine. They get a little overzealous with what they're trying to do. Let me protect you from everything in the world.
Mm.
A lot of those protections may already be built into your system. Are you on a high-speed internet connection?
Yes, I am.
And do you have a router?
No.
Okay, well, that's something.
Yes, I do. I guess I'm probably misunderstanding what you're saying.
You have a box between the high-speed internet device and your computer.
Right,
Little blue thing. Maybe it's got little antennas.
Yeah.
Okay. So that does a real good job as, you know, a lot of people want firewalls.
Mm-hmm.
That does a real good job of making you invisible, kind of like what a firewall does.
Okay.
So you can start disabling certain parts of the Norton antivirus or Norton Internet Security program.
Right.
To see which one of them is causing the
headache.
Right. And probably the firewall is where I'd start.
Okay. Well, I did try disabling the firewall, and it still would not allow me to get in.
Then the next piece is going to be the watching over you, probably a portion of the automatic scripting of the antivirus where it's going to look at the script that's on a page and try to determine on your behalf. Mm-hmm. And see, what all these security programs do is they go, well, I can be, if I let something bad in, I'm better off not letting anything in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a spam filter. A good spam filter will scrape out everything, right, where there's no spam whatsoever.
Sure.
But it also takes out the ham.
Right.
And then if you start to loosen it up to where some spam starts to come in, well, now what? You know,
yeah.
So that's kind of where they're at with these things.
Okay.
The specific details, if you want to actually hang on, just because I don't want to make this a big, long, drawn-out, boring area.
Sure.
But I can actually walk you through it off the air.
Okay,
some of the basic steps. And anyone out there, actually, you can look at the details and the settings and the configurations for every single part of Norton Internet Security, and you'll see all kinds of places where you can actually disable certain features. And
yeah, like everything.
Yeah, pretty much. Everything but the antivirus is really what we recommend.
Yeah. Good thing you got all the extra stuff, though, and it was only $20 more.
Really?
If you think about this, this is actually brilliant on Symantec's part. They were selling everybody in the world their antivirus product for $29. And
right.
By the way, it's not just Symantec, it's all the other guys, too. and they got you to spend an extra $10 to give you a ton more stuff. But think about from their perspective. It's the same box, costs the same price, right?
Yep.
The CD that they use that they put all this stuff on costs the same price, right? They just put a little bit different ink on top.
Yep.
Everything that they do to distribute it, same price. Shipping, same price. All that stuff, same price. The only thing that's different is if there's support issues, it's more. But guess what? They don't have any support other than installation support. Everything else you pay by the minute for.
So the more stuff we put in there that confuses you, the more likely we'll get support calls from you that you'll pay for.
So they got you to spend $10 more, didn't cost them anything more, and they got a higher chance of you calling them for support, which makes them money.
Do you buy stocks on the stock market, Mike?
Yeah.
Because these guys are smart, smart guys, let me tell you.
You might want to go look to see what the symbol for Symantec is.
Thanks a lot.
All right, hang tight. We'll see if we can help you off the air on that. So, and you know, if there's any real obvious findings on this, the problem is there's Norton Internet Security 2005, there's Norton Internet Security 2006, 2004. They have all the different versions. They all have slightly different interfaces. And
then there's, you know, how many different versions of Windows out there and whether or not you have Service Pack 2 in there. And then, so let's just say, okay, well, Norton's bad. What about McAfee? Well, they're doing the same thing, too, with all their internet security and other tools and stuff they want to sell you. So,
all right, let's move on to Rick here before we run out of time here. Rick,
I started
to talk to him off the air. He's got a couple of DVD drives.
Yeah.
He's got one that's a ROM. He's got one that's a burner. Everything was great. And then suddenly they both, in his favorite burning software, Nero, which I love as well, both drives that used to be, one used to be E, one used to be F, they both show up as F.
Correct.
And when you try to do something in Nero with either one or with your burner, it does not work anymore?
No, it'll work if you try to access something by itself. If you try to do something where both burners, where both are involved, like you're copying a disk, then is when I'm running into my problems. You know, if I stay on one just as a separate unit, like I'm copying files off my hard drive or something, everything's fine.
And
you know, but
and of course, the part that makes this really difficult is Windows sees both drives as E and F still. It's just Nero.
Right, correct. And like I said, I tried to work with Nero and stuff and completely uninstalled it and reinstalled it, and it still comes back as both showing F drive in the Nero program. So.
Well, the only thing I was thinking of that I'd try, since you've gone through all the real obvious tech support and trying those kinds of things, there's a couple of different ways that those drives can be connected inside of your computer, and
correct.
There's some little tiny small chance that because they're on the same chain, Nero's having a problem resolving them, so you might try moving one off of, so make sure they're on different channels.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sure. I just put one on there with my hard drive.
Right, and while you're just...
As a slave.
Correct. You know? And make sure and change the jumpers on each drive to replicate or to reflect the change.
Sure.
You know, master and slave, that kind of thing.
Well, I was getting ready to try that next as a final resolve, unless you guys had a magic solution for me, which I
now,
appreciate
this is,
all your help.
This is so obscure that it's...
And until now, I was under the impression that Nero just got its information about what drives were in your machine from Windows. But obviously that isn't the case, or we wouldn't be talking, so...
Yeah, right. That's kind of where I was hoping that maybe somebody had a trick with something in the Nero configuration files where I could... maybe assign a drive letter and go in there and try to reassign it or something.
Well, until you called, our assumption was that Nero got that information from Windows.
I've got a magic wand and a crystal ball, but if you want to try them out, you give it a shot. I'm just guessing that's not going to work.
Wait, I've got a gong moment. I've got another idea.
Okay.
Rick?
Yeah.
No use in Nero.
No use Nero. Okay. And, hey, by the way, something tax-wise, real quick before I'm done, I appreciate all your help. I've been using TurboTax it's my fourth year, and it works great for me, man.
Yeah, TurboTax is the unequivocal leader of, and I apologize. We had, for those of you waiting with bated breath to hear Scott Gilbrunson from Intuit to come on and talk about their product, something happened here with our communication. And
exhale.
He didn't, yeah.
Let's just exhale. We'll just say that. He may or may not actually show up here in the final moments of our fine show.
But I'm with you, Rick. We've been a TurboTax household for quite a number of years as well. In fact, are you using the Box product or are you doing it online?
Actually, I've been using a Box product, and I just found out about the online part of it this year. So, yeah, we've used a Box product.
I converted to the web interface last year because it's so much more convenient. You can work on it a little bit on this machine, and then go to the office and work on it.
Yeah, buddy.
And you can.
I'm going to tell you something, man. You guys, I was listening to you talk to one of your other customers, and that's the first place I'm headed as soon as I get home. I'm at work right now, so. I get home, I'm gonna do the online thing and check it out and see what's going on. I like being able to test it first, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And the Disney household has used it for 2 years in a row, and we got two thumbs up.
Well, and there's one other piece of this that people don't seem to remember. Since we know 99.99999% of you listening don't do backup.
Uh-huh.
When you put this online through the Intuit security system, guess who's taking care of the backup for you?
Right.
Oh, yeah, my goodness. Ken, look at the brain on you.
I know.
Woo, doggies.
Worst thing you could do is forget your password. They even help you with that. So.
To an extent. There is a situation where you can lock yourself out of your own account.
Yeah.
They literally, I mean, just since we're talking about this, the last couple of years, we went through this. The employees at Intuit actually have no actual way. Like, if you totally lose your password, they have no way to get into your account for you. They have no way in other words, the security level is so high that if you lose your password, you're going to be starting over.
Well, pay close attention when you sign up because it asks you some questions like what's your mother's maiden name and what street did you grow up on and things like that, so that if you lose your password, you know the answers to those questions and you can reset it. So,
hey, I've got a question real quick. Isn't TurboTax part of the Quicken Bunch?
Yeah, Intuit, same company owns.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Yep. Well, that explains it then.
Yeah, they're big boys.
It's a good product.
And the IRS has checked out their data centers, and it's like in one of these nuclear tombs, you know, that you can't get through without having your eyes scanned, and I think they do a strip search and a body cavity search.
And they do blood tests.
And then you can get inside the building.
But you can't get out.
Right. And then once you're in, they never let you out.
So. Right. Or they have to kill you.
It's
your choice.
Pretty secure.
Well, all right, Rick. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Hey, good luck.
We are overdue for a break, so we're going to take it now. When we come back, more of your calls and questions. It's the Computer Corner. Ken and Brandon back in a flash.